Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, isn't it refreshing?
It's the Dort Podcast. It's the Dort Podcast.
Rich Keith.
It's the Dort Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the Hashtag Dort Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keith, joined as always by Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
Hey, what's up, guy?
Oh, there he is.
Here I am.
He's ready to rock and roll. He's having a nice time. I've been checking out the Twitch streams recently, Ryan. You've been really, kicking it up a notch there, I would say.
We like cranking it up a little bit. You know what I mean? I think, you know, as the stream grows, so should I. We are up consistently. We range from about 12 to 20 people on average. So the average is getting up there. So
we're moving
in the right direction.
And there's plenty of room for growth there. Plenty of room for growth. That's good stuff. Let's get to the news of the week.
This week in Dork.
Well, Ryan, we saw a brand new trailer for Venom today. It was over 3 minutes long, and Hachi Machi is right. That was quite a trailer.
That was quite a trailer. I was on the fence about this, but you and I discussed it before. Like, if Tom Hardy and Michelle Williams are signing on for this, like, they can turn down scripts.
Yes.
So
there was not a lot of Michelle Williams in this. It was all Tom Hardy and a lot of Venom.
Oh, yeah, which is great. Which is great. So, you know, that's what you want to see out of that trailer, especially.
Yeah, I was wondering if they were, because the very first trailer they showed, it was like just at the very end. So I was wondering if it was going to be more of a movie reveal. But I think what they decided was, you know what, this preview or this trailer is not for the comic book dork out there. It's not for you or me, Ryan. It's not even for our listeners. It's for people that might have no idea what the hell they're getting into. So they want to show them like, hey, you might be interested in this because it looks pretty crazy.
Yeah, and not only that, but like you got some glimpses. So there's one, I forget, Riz Ahmed who's playing the bad guy.
Yeah.
Who's like the nameless bad guy or whatever. He's having this like intimate moment with some guy in like this glass cell.
Yeah.
Could that be Carnage? Maybe.
Yes, I think so. I think there's some there was some scuttlebutt that Carnage is in this film. I don't know if it's been confirmed or not. Maybe it has, but I think Carnage is going to be in there, and that's exciting.
Well, you saw, I think it might not have been, I don't think it was Carnage, I don't even think it was Venom, but like one of the symbiotes with like, he had like the two axes going at the,
nice.
I mean, this is, and I like the fact that, you know, like it shows the relationship between Eddie Brock and like this alien thing, where they're like talking to each other.
Yeah, that's pretty good. It's going to be
very nice. I'm very excited about it now.
What do you think of Tom Hardy's voice choice?
He does, so Eddie Brock obviously is from New York.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie? What movie was it? He was in a movie.
Pan's Labyrinth.
He was in a movie with James Gandolfini called The Drop. Did you see The Drop?
No, I've not seen The Drop.
Oh, The Drop's awesome. But he plays like this kind of, it's kind of the same character where he's kind of like, he pretends to be kind of dopey.
Yeah,
like this New York guy,
but
he's not.
Yeah, so it's like a similar kind of, because I've heard he tries to do a different voice in every movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, this one's a little bit different.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But you got to figure, he's kind of like a tougher.
Yeah.
Because when Eddie Brock and Peter Parker meet, like, Eddie Brock's kind of like this, you know, hot shit.
Yeah.
You know, and Peter Parker isn't, and he's constantly, like, bullying him a little bit. So,
I mean,
I can see that dynamic working very well.
Eddie Brock is always going to be Topher Grace to me. I mean, that was the perfect choice. No, they've recast. That's a shame.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if this movie was with Topher Grace instead?
The last thing I'll say about this, I like the fact that, remember you saw like Venom and he's like picking the guy up, so you don't really see like how big he is?
Yeah, oh, he's pretty big,
he's
though.
He's massive.
He's enormous. Yeah, he's a big-ass dude. Yeah.
Which is good.
It's exciting.
Speaking of Topher Grace.
Ryan, I don't know if you saw Mission Impossible Fallout came out this weekend. Number one movie at the box office and currently rocking a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. Is this, I know you haven't seen it yet, but is it the greatest movie of all time?
It better be if we're going to win this movie draft.
I know it was a nice pick. People were down on Mission Impossible. I said,
and to be honest, this might be a podcast first, but I'm going to say I was wrong about this one.
Yes. You know what? And we maybe you shouldn't have been, because if you look at the Mission Impossible Tomatoes scores, mm-hmm. there's been six of them. The first three were not great, and then the last three have all gotten really, really good critical reviews.
Which is funny, because I don't know if it was like you or Mac were like, you look at it, and two is like a huge dip. Like one was like, Mission Impossible 1 was like 70-ish.
Yeah, it was somewhere
and then
like...
And 2 was like in the 30s, and one of you or Mac either went like, well, 2's my favorite.
I love 2. No, me, I do. I love it. I love 2.
Like it's John Woo. That's a John Woo movie.
John Woo. And it was great. I love 2. And then the girl, what's her name, who's in Westworld. Who's
Sandy
like,
Newton.
Yeah, so she's in that, and she is, yeah. that is, she is, wow, okay.
That was one of her first movies, too.
And she's never looked better. She's never looked better than that. And that movie was not, like the scene, it was just over the top. I mean, I also like the movie Bad Boys, too. So just to put it in perspective, what kind of movies I like. But Mission Impossible apparently is doing really, really well. There was some Star Wars casting news. Looks like they're bringing all the old heads back. Even some of them are no longer with us, as Carrie Fisher will be in the film, as will Mark Hamill and Billy D. Williams for Episode 9.
Well, this is great. I mean, the way they're handling the Carrie Fisher thing, I think, is the best way to do it. So I guess they had some unused footage from The Last Jedi or Force Awakens. They're using unused footage of her. So
how good would it be?
Footage.
How good would the footage be if she was like, I'm going to go have my words with Snoke? And you're like, Snoke's dead.
Snoke's dead.
It's like all old stuff. She's like, I can't wait to see Han again. You're like, no, Han.
Like, and they play like the No, I think there's going to be, there has to be some creative editing. But you didn't want to see her back in the movie digitized. You didn't want to see kind of like the ghost of Carrie Fisher kind of like walking
around. I don't like that CGI.
So it's going to be actually her, which is the perfect way to do it. I think it's a great way to kind of honor her and, you know, bring an end to the Skywalker legacy. Because they're supposed to be done after this one.
Well, let's hope.
Let's hope.
I like what you did there.
Or new hope.
I love the whole idea of her having stuff that was filmed earlier that doesn't make sense anymore. I got dinner plans with Admiral Ackbar. Like I'll meet up with you in a minute. And like, oh.
What would be great is if Ackbar's they cut to dead. Like another character and they're like, wait, what? And they just like keep going.
just keep like it's clearly from another scene. Like we saw that same scene in Last Jedi. What are you doing? So that's that. We
watch out for Jabba the Hutt. Like, wait, what?
No. She's talked fine. on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ArvonD. There were some rumors about the Fox Disney merger, and I don't know if they've officially scrapped New Mutants and Dark Phoenix just yet. But here's my idea: is if they want to start fresh, and they say, you know what, we don't want to release this. They still made these goddamn movies. They still spent a lot of money.
Yeah.
And couldn't you sell them to Netflix? Because I feel like if you say they're so bad, I feel like there's a little bit of intrigue there.
That's it. Like, and look at it, the Geely effect. Remember when Geely came out with Ben Affleck and Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez, and people were like, oh, it's awful. And then people wanted to see it.
Like, so I got to take a look at this.
It doesn't have to be this whole wide release. I'd say keep the movie, but like you said, give it to HBO or give it to Netflix or give it to Hulu or whoever. You know,
like if both of those movies were on Netflix, I would watch them for sure.
Yeah,
you know,
Amazon's got money to burn.
Yeah,
give it to them.
Give it to them. Just give it to them, for God's sakes. Yeah. AMC had a couple of announcements. Better Call Saul, which season 4 is on its way. It's already been picked up for a season 5. And so has Fear the Walking Dead. So the spinoff show is now going to go in its 5th season. I think season 4 is coming up next week.
I'm excited for Saul because they're going to start backing up into
They're going to be all over it. They're going to be all over it.
I mean, not Walking Dead. Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad. Yeah. Sorry, yeah.
Speaking of like the poor man's Breaking Bad, that would be Ozark. Season 2 trailer just came out on Netflix. Did you end up watching season 1?
I not yet.
It's not bad. It's not bad. Like, I think the worst thing you can do though is compare it to Breaking Bad, because it is not. But Jason Bateman, he's good, so I liked it. Iron Fist season 2 is apparently only going to be 10 episodes, Ryan.
Good.
Seems like 10 too many.
I'm going to say this right now: as good as Daredevil is, that should be 10 episodes.
Yeah, I
agree. You got to figure
they all should be.
They're 14 episodes.
Yeah.
They just cut 4 hours of story.
No, 13.
4 hours of fluff.
No, 13. There's 13 episodes.
Whatever.
Yeah. So, but still, 3 hours of your time.
Yeah, it's three hours, man.
That's a Lord of the Rings film.
Seriously.
And on a bit of a down note here, Ryan, two early picks of the pod here, Nikolai Volkov and Grandmaster Sexay.
Too bad. And we just saw Nikolai Volkov.
Was he at one of the cons?
He was at Comic-Con.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's, we got to stop going.
They're dropping like flies.
A week after we saw, what's his name, Adam West, he died.
Yeah, dead.
So we got to stop going to these cons, man. We're killing people.
And Ron Perlman. No, he's still alive.
No, he's not. He's still alive.
Tony,
you know what's dead.
Tony,
you know what's dead, though. It's his bar tab.
Yeah, it's true. Is Tony Katane still alive?
Oh, barely. Just barely.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, Ryan, here we go.
So I've been poking around, you know, Mammoth Gamers, looking for news. We're talking about all the news and notes that are coming and all that stuff. And one of the things that's pretty interesting to me, Marvel Games has pulled Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2 from all, like, streaming services.
Huh.
They've pulled it completely from the market, which tells me, remember Rocksteady was supposed to be working, or somebody was supposed to be working on, like, this Marvel game?
I thought it was another DC game.
No, so they're working on another DC game, but somebody, I forget who it was, is working on a secret Marvel video game project. And it's been rumored that it's an Avengers game.
Okay.
So this kind of lends itself to that, like maybe it is, because they're pulling the Ultimate Alliance games off shelves.
So that's a pretty good question. But obviously Spider-Man's coming out in another couple of months, and that's probably would have been your answer anyway. But if you could have a really good video game for a Marvel character, who would you think would be the best?
Well, we've tried the Hulk. Some of the Hulk games are actually playable, so I don't mind a Hulk game.
What about a Wolverine game?
Any Marvel character.
What about Wolverine?
Like a Wolverine. They've tried that. Like, some of those games are pretty good. They've done that. So I would want something that I haven't played. Spider-Man is obviously going to be the best.
What about Silver Surfer?
Have you played the Silver Surfer NES game?
No, I have not.
Unplayable.
No, I know, but I'm saying, but if you have like Rocksteady behind it or something like that, they forget about what the old games were. Like, what could they do with something new?
Oh, like a Daredevil game would be kick-ass.
That's true. Daredevil would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Or like a Defenders game Daredevil and
Punisher.
Then have like DLC.
Yeah, DLC, and you could have like all the Defenders. But Punisher, you could just turn it into, Punisher would basically just be Gears of War.
Basically, yeah.
All right.
So what else we got? So looking at the upcoming games this month, there's some pretty good games coming out. August is typically a slow month for video games. So you're going to have
Madden.
You know, Madden is like your big one, and that's coming out next week. I think it's coming out the 7th. Just looking at it right here, the game that I'm really excited about this month is, I mentioned it before in the podcast, Fire Pro Wrestling is actually coming to it's coming to PlayStation.
Nice.
So it looks like, I don't know if you've looked at it, it looks like the old WrestleMania games we used to play.
That's pretty good. That's a good time.
So we might have to jump on that.
I think so.
Yeah. And the other thing, and I mentioned this to somebody on Twitter, and I know you're on board, but we're going to make it official now. By the end of the summer, you and I are going to set a date where you and I do our old school 100 matches, head-to-head, mano-a-mano Tekken duels.
How do we do that?
We just play online, and you and I'll stream it.
Tekken 3? How the hell are we going to get that?
You can get Tekken 7. It's fine.
Oh, okay.
Any Tekken.
Any Tekken? Okay. All right.
You know, we'll get the cheapest Tekken we can find.
But, all right, it's not even an excuse. It's just more the reality of the situation. The best character I've ever been at with Tekken is a Tekken 3 exclusive. It's Gon.
Well, you're not playing
dinosaur.
As Gon.
Gon was the man.
Yeah, Gon was the man because it was odd job, basically.
Not really. Well, then how come nobody else could play well with him? Answer me that.
Because no one wanted to play
well. Well, they couldn't, though.
Well,
they could. I made the general gasp while we were playing against him. Gasp.
You made him what?
Gasp.
Gasp?
He gasped.
Well, you almost beat him, and then you didn't.
I did a move with him. Yeah, but I took down most of the other team. And so you spun the tail like a lunatic. They're having a hard time blocking that. And then you go into a fireball uppercut punch, and that's unblockable. And he'd never seen it before. And this guy basically invented the game.
I know. Well, that's the thing, is that the only person I could play with you against with Gon was Eddie Gordo, because he has a great set of low moves.
Yeah.
And you would say that I was button mashing and cheating.
And then I would fart on you while you were doing it.
You would fart on me.
Yeah. Yeah. Then right into the text.
The only other game that I would say is going to be mentioned now, there's a game that's coming out across all platforms called We Happy Few, which I'm kind of excited about.
Okay.
It's a survival horror game set in the 60s in London. And a very different outcome from World War II, so the world is a bit different. People wear masks to conceal their real faces, so everyone looks happy all the time.
Mm.
The artwork
but
in this game
not.
Looks really cool. The premise seems really interesting, so that's probably going to be something I'm picking up.
I like it.
But that'll do it, and we can get on to the get-on here.
Do you want the topic du jour, Ryan?
Yeah, let's do this.
Oh, it's the topic of the day. M. Night Shyamalan movies. We talked a lot last week about the Glass trailer. That movie comes out in 2019 in January, so just around the corner, you're going to get Glass. And M. Night Shyamalan, what a career he has had. Without doing a lot of research on it, I would say there's very few directors in the world that have the highs and lows of him. There are certainly some directors that have higher highs. There might be some directors that have lower lows, which I don't even know if that's true. But the gap there, it's staggering when you look at some of these movies.
Like, how do you have stuff in the 90s and then stuff in, like, the single digits?
Just trash movies. So we're really going to highlight the movies that M. Night Shyamalan has written and directed. So, fun fact, he was the writer, sort of an uncredited writer of the movie She's All That in 1999.
Which is, you wrote that? And I'm like, I had to look at it. I'm like, that's not
there's
true.
No way that's right. And so he doesn't even get credit. And then I guess it's mixed. Like, one said he just sort of like cleaned up the script. And then he did an interview later on where I think he said he wrote all of it. And then the guy who got credited for it said, like, that's not really true. So who the hell knows? But he did have something to do with She's All That, which is ridiculous. Also, the premise. And I know they did a great job making fun of it in Not Another Teen Movie, which is a pretty good parody movie, by the way, starring Chris Evans, the guy from Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. It's pretty funny, but the whole idea of She's All That, where there's like they find a girl who is very clearly already attractive. She just is like wearing glasses. Like, the real treat would have been find the fattest girl in the whole school and be like, there you go. There's your date. Figure it out. And I don't want to fat shame, Ryan. I'm just saying there's more of a challenge in that.
It's more, but. You know, what's beauty, Rich? And that's what that movie's about.
On the inside, no doubt. Well, she was also very beautiful on the outside, as it turns out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Rachel Lee Cook, late 90s Rachel Lee Cook could get it.
Bringing high heat.
Oh, hi. Remember when you took her to, like, the beach party? And then you were like, ho, ho.
Oh, nurse.
17, 18-year-old me was like, I can get down with that.
I could definitely get down with that. He also wrote a little film called Stuart Little.
Yeah.
I don't know. And more recently, in 2010, I've not seen this yet. I heard it's good, although a slow burn. That would be the film Devil. He wrote it, but he did not direct it for whatever reason.
Yeah, this is the one that like takes place solely in an elevator, and like one of them is the devil.
Yep.
And the you know.
Yeah, you've pinpointed
which is like,
it.
Like, how much do I want to watch a movie about someone getting, or a group of people stuck in an elevator, you know?
I hear you. So
I already saw Phone Booth, and I didn't like that.
The one thing I liked about Phone Booth is it was like 45 minutes long. It was the shortest movie ever put on screen. So here's the deal. We're going to go in order of the movies that he made. He wrote and directed a total of 12. The first one I did not see. I'm assuming nobody has seen. In fact, it's not even rated on Rotten Tomatoes. It's called Praying with Anger. Came out in 1992. It's about an alienated, Americanized teenager of East Indian heritage is sent back to India, where he discovers not only his roots, but a lot about himself. So the movie, as you can imagine, also stars M. Night Shyamalan, who is not a great actor.
Yeah, so pass on that. I never saw that.
Skip that
one. Or do I want to?
The next movie is not the one you're thinking of. This next movie came out in 1998 called Wide Awake. 40% critic score, 67% by the audience. A 10-year-old boy goes on a search for God after his grandfather dies. Did not see that one either.
Did not see that.
Off to a bit of a tough start.
I don't have to talk about it.
Nope, we're not going to talk about that. So now let's get into the 10 movies that people probably have seen. And I think this one, a lot of people sort of associate with his debut film. But as we just pointed out, not the case. But this is the first one where he got a lot of success. Maybe his best movie. We'll get into that debate here. But that would be The Sixth Sense, 1999's, 85% critics, 90% audience. Both kind of low, to be honest, in my mind. A boy who communicates with spirits seeks the help of a disheartened child psychologist. Oscar nominations for Best Director and Best Original Screenplay. Didn't win either, but he was nominated for both. His only Oscar nominations. But Ryan, this is the one that clearly put him on the map. People still talk about it. The ending, one of the best endings probably in film history.
And it kind of set him up, and I say this with care, obviously, but kind of set him up for failure down the road because, you know, everyone's kids who are teenagers know what a Shyamalan twist is.
Correct.
You know, and what I find the most remarkable thing about this movie, and this was made 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Ish?
Yep.
Is that if you say to anybody, I see dead people, they know what you're talking about.
Right. Pretty amazing.
Like it is still culturally relevant 20 years later.
It's incredible. And we've talked about child stars or child actors before. And Haley Joel Osment was great. He's worked with other ones who are the opposite of great that we'll get to later. But he was really good. Toni Collette was awesome. Bruce Willis was fantastic. The movie, and what's great about this is there are a lot of like imitation movies after this that came out where... Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, like it had a good ending, like it had a fun kind of twist ending, but they kind of became predictable. But not only that, but a lot of times the movie itself was not very good, and then the ending, you're like, oh, at least it ended cool.
Oh, whatever.
Whereas even if the ending didn't happen, I dare say The Sixth Sense would still be a pretty good movie. Now I know you needed that, and that like made it what it was. But the whole like leading up to it, you weren't like, well, this was a waste of 90 minutes until the end, right? Like the 90 minutes that you saw was still pretty damn good.
But what was so clever about it was that, like, and are we into spoilers? If you haven't seen this
good
movie,
call.
Like,
yeah, good call. So I say, I wasn't gonna spoil the last movie, Split, because it came out only a couple years ago.
We won't spoil that. Yeah.
No, but you know what? If you watch the trailer for Glass, it's basically spoiled for you. So I say, loose spoilers on all of these, every M. Night movie. So if we're gonna go in order, so if you haven't seen one and you want to go back, just skip ahead a little bit. But yeah,
One of the things that makes Fight Club really good, and I know this is going somewhere, trust me, makes Fight Club really good is you watch it through once, and you're like, whoa, that's weird. And then you watch it through again, and you pick up on all the things that he have clued you in beforehand. You can do that with The Sixth Sense.
Oh, my God,
like, there are moments where, like, Bruce Willis is seemingly interacting with other people.
Well, there's some, you know what I mean? Like, some of the stuff, I even think that, like, when you watch it again, there's even more, like, obvious giveaways, and you're like, how the hell did I not know this? Like, some of the stuff, so it goes back a year later, and he's like around his wife, who obviously never talks to him.
Yeah,
and you're just
like sitting at the table,
you're like, she's not looking at him, and then she does drop, so she's sitting there, he's like late to dinner, and she's obviously there by herself because that's where he proposed to her, and she says something like, happy anniversary, and like walks off, but like that was done just to sort of swerve the audience because she's just saying it like, you know, to herself. But you think, you're like, oh, well, I guess she's talking to him, but, like, obviously she's mad at him, but you're like, you don't really know.
And when he first meets the kid, there's a scene where he's just sitting at a table with Toni Collette, and they're not saying anything.
Yes. Oh, yeah, they're just sitting there.
They're like,
And then Cole comes back and sees him, and just like, oh, man, like, not another dead person. Like, my God.
Right.
But it's really well done. But you got to think about it. He is shot 10 minutes into the movie. Donnie Wahlberg. Who is playing
unrecognizable
Donnie Wahlberg in the bathroom in his underwear, pulls a gun out. It's the haircut. It's like the worst haircut ever is what really separates him. Pulls a gun out, shoots him. So we're so used to as an audience, if somebody gets shot in like not through the head, he gets shot in like the stomach, and then they cut forward, like you just, oh, he must have made it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, that's just what you're assuming. But he did get shot and killed in the first 10 minutes, so maybe we shouldn't have been as surprised that we found out later he was dead.
And there was a line where Haley Joel Osment says, like, he asked him about, like, when you see these dead people, like, what are they like? And he's like, well, most are nice. And he said, but some don't know they're dead.
Yeah. Oh, that's another good line. Yep. That's another good tell. Just really, I like this movie. It's maybe his best. I know most people would argue that it is his best. A couple of the other things I would think about with this is for his career, I wonder what would have happened had this been like in the middle of the movies that he made. Or would he even have been allowed to make other movies, you know, if he didn't make this one?
Well, that goes back to the argument of like one-hit wonders. Like, would you, if you could be a one-hit wonder, would you be? And my answer is always, absolutely I would.
Oh, compared to a no-hit absolutely. Wonder? Yeah,
yeah,
hell yeah.
Exactly.
Hell yeah.
If I could make $10 million and have made Ice Ice Baby, fuck yeah.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely I would do it.
Yeah, I got to live with that. If I could be Rico Suave.
Well, no problem. No doubt. Yeah. Chumbawamba, let's go.
Absolutely.
Let's start it up. If you could see dead people, would you kill yourself? I mean, like, how awful would that be?
Well, I love those types of stories and books and all that stuff with, like, the connection to, like, the other world.
Yeah.
Like, I love Hellblazer. I love Constantine. I love Sandman Slim novels. Like, stuff like that. Like, I love that stuff.
But it's
like, I would be horrified, but I would try to, like...
But when you're nine, like when you're 9 years old and like they're just coming to you asking you stuff and like messing around, pulling drawers out, your mom's looking at you weird and just like nonstop bothering you.
Yeah.
That'd
like
be tough.
That would be a little much. If it happened to me now.
Yeah, maybe you could sort of deal with it.
I would kind of handle it. But like at nine, no way.
If it happened to you now, you could kind of, you know, turn it into like a business.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, or absolutely. I'd just straight up, I'd ghost whisper their ass and just cross them over. You know?
You would release the, you let their soul be at peace?
Yeah. I'd be like, do you see the light? Like, no, you don't see the light? Well, then you obviously need to do something and, you know, make amends and then go cross over.
Well, if you looked like the Ghost Whisperer, this would be a very different conversation. The tone of this conversation would be a little bit different.
That's a good point.
You'd be like, hey.
Yeah, hey.
You want a podcast with me?
Yes, I do. So that's The Sixth Sense. That is a nice film. 2000, he comes back with Unbreakable. 69% nice on Rotten Tomatoes, but that seems super low.
That's super low.
69%, 77% by the audience.
Well, you got to imagine, too, that like no superhero movies at this point.
Movies
were not a big deal. Spider-Man came out in 2001.
Yeah, Blade was out, right? Wasn't that late 90s?
Blade, yeah. But like, you had to go on. Like, there were no superhero properties, real ones, at this time. Not to discount Blade, because Blade was awesome. Right.
Was X-Men this year? Was X-Men 2000 or 2001? It was right around there.
I think it was like 99. Or
yeah, it was right around there. But you're right. It was.
There's no established world for like these superhero movies. So this was if this movie came out now, I think it would have been better received.
Yeah, probably. I don't know what people. I don't know. I thought it was really, really good. Like I
loved it.
I loved it.
Like I said, there was at the market at the time. Like there was no people weren't like used to seeing superheroes on the screen. Really,
and Bruce Willis was great in this too. Like he was, you know, he's still known for Die Hard and action movies. But between Unbreakable and Sixth Sense, these are two of his best movies. Certainly, two of M. Night Shyamalan's best movies. Mr. Glass, who we're going to learn a lot more about coming up in the movie Glass. Played by Samuel L. Jackson is really good. Like the feats of strength that he's doing, and just like as you're learning, and like you think Mr. Glass is kind of crazy, and then you're like, well, he still is crazy, but like he's kind of onto something here. Like it's really well done. Like it's shot really well. And I know M. Night, they like make fun of him a lot for certain tropes that he has, like in movies or like, you know, certain colors. Like this whole movie, Unbreakable, it's like purple and blue, like the whole goddamn movie is. But it's like that's what he does. And he shoots shit in reflections. Like if you're into that, like if you're a movie snob, then you're probably the good movies that he does, you like even more. And then you got to be really disappointed by the shit movies that he does.
Yeah, I mean, I like this movie again. I think it was a little ahead of its time.
Yeah, I agree. But I love it, and I think what must have happened, like you're not going to come out with a sequel 19 years later if you weren't getting a lot of like positive feedback later on about it or like I don't know if it's cult status because it wasn't like completely buried early on, but I think clearly they must be aware of like, all right, there's a group of people that like this movie a lot, so it makes sense for us to tie it into a universe and make a sequel. Oh, my other question is, do you think, and I'm sure there's a couple of exceptions because of what they are, now that we know that Unbreakable and Split are in the same universe, do you think all M. Night Shyamalan movies in some way are connected?
It could be. But then again, we have like the Bruce Willis paradox. Like how many Bruce Willis Willi are there?
How many Bruce Willi are there? That's
and there's
point.
Two Joaquin Phoenixes. So
there's a couple of Bryce Dallas Howards. He does work with a lot of the same actors and actresses. Plus,
so
as we'll get to, like the Happening clearly can't be in the same universe as some of the other ones.
But just to put a bow on this, like the whole Sixth Sense thing, what an interesting idea of like he does with like with heroes and villains that they're the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Like when Samuel L. Jackson has the conversation with Bruce Willis, like towards the end of the movie, where he's like, "This is the reason. Like, I was looking for you."
Right.
And he's like this Lex Luthor like supervillain. You find out who's like caused all of these catastrophes.
Looking for him. It's crazy. Like that is such a good. That's a good Shyamalan twist.
That's awesome. But to me, that made the whole movie.
It did. I agree with you. But that was another one where like the movie was good, and you were kind of waiting for something. And I wonder if Unbreakable. I don't know, because people were just expecting The Sixth Sense again. You know, it's similar like when Jim Carrey made The Cable Guy, and they're like, what? And you're like, well, it was also really good. It's just not Ace Ventura, so, you know, you got to adjust accordingly, I guess. But I liked Unbreakable.
You know, I would put this higher than, even though I like that 69 number.
Nice.
I would put it a little bit higher. I would put it in the 80s.
I would certainly put it in the 80s.
And the only problem I have with the Shyamalan movies, and this is like all 10 of them, 10 of the major ones, is that they're slow.
There's a bit of a slow burn. Another criticism they have is there's not much joy in them.
Oh, no. Very, very morose.
There's some morose. Yeah, that's very true. So 2002, you get everybody's favorite, Mel Gibson, Signs.
Yeah, oh, yeah. 70, his favorite.
74%. On Rotten Tomatoes, 67, so actually a lower audience score. A family living on a farm finds mysterious crop circles in their fields, which suggests something more frightening to come. You get Macaulay Culkin's brother. You get Abigail Breslin, Joaquin Phoenix. I like this movie. I know you don't. And we've talked about this on a podcast before. You kind of hate it.
I kind of hate it, but the other thing, too, the fact that this is higher rated by critics than Unbreakable is like
that makes sense.
Unforgivable. It's unforgivable.
That doesn't make sense to me.
And this movie is the definition of okay, but one of the biggest plot holes ever. Like, and don't give me this shit. I've heard people say like, well, you know, the aliens and like, there's water everywhere on this planet.
75%. That's right.
75% of the Earth is covered by water. The other quarter of the Earth is covered by
Andrew Jones
or Ed Reed,
Deion Sanders. Yeah, you can go ahead.
You go either way.
High school Rich Keefe, depending on what
high
you want to.
High school Rich Keefe. Yeah. the fact that you know, like that's.
But what if they're looking breathing. For something very special? What if they really need something?
So that's the argument that people make: is that like the. And someone says in the movie, they say, like, they're not here for our planet, they're here for us.
Ooh, there you go. You don't like that?
Well, I do. Okay. I mean, that's kind of like
that
why
helps.
It's not... I don't hate this movie. I just don't really like it that much, because I think it's silly.
I wouldn't, like, rewatch the hell out of it, but I do like it. And I remember really liking it the first time I saw it, and I've seen it a few times since. The scene where the alien walks by on, like, the TV footage, that's a great little scare. Like, that's good stuff. Now, they show you the alien a good amount, which... Again, you don't probably need to do. Maybe less is more, like we've seen in Jaws and other movies like that. But I think they do a pretty good job. It's a good story. I like aliens. It's certainly not a perfect movie, but it's pretty good. And so, like, if you're just looking at this guy, Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, Signs, his first three movies, that's a pretty goddamn good start.
Good.
Like, if we're gonna dismiss the other ones, like those three, that like the big three Hollywood movies, like this guy means business. He's on his way, and this is when. He started to get compared to like Spielberg and stuff.
Yeah, I mean that that didn't go very well.
It didn't go great, Ryan. It didn't go great.
Like you said, I saw this movie. I remember thinking like, you know, like it didn't blow me away as the first three did.
If you thought that one was, you are gonna hate the next five. Or
I know,
six.
But I saw Signs once, and I'm good. I saw it once. That's all I need to see.
Yeah, I recommend it. I would say check it out. It's good. You're looking for an alien type movie. Good stuff. The next movie, very polarizing, I would say, is The Village. Came out in 2004. 43% critics, 57 audience. A series of events test the beliefs of a small, isolated countryside village. Jesse Eisenberg is in this movie. I forgot. I was rewatching this recently.
Yep.
I forgot that he was in this. I know you're a big fan of his.
Oh, yeah.
Also, I was going to say, Bryce Dallas Howard and Judy Greer play sisters in this. They also play sisters in a great film called Jurassic World.
Yes, they do. What I find is great about this, if you look at the critic score and the audience score, and you average them, it comes out to 50%, which, As you know, this movie is 50-50. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. And this is where the split happens, in my opinion, with Shyamalan's career. Like, this is where the split happens.
Yeah, I agree completely, because I think those first three movies are anywhere from good to great. Like you said, yep. Maybe Signs is just good, good to great. This one is, like, if you're going to defend M. Night Shyamalan, you probably like this one more. And if you want to say he stinks, then this is one that you would hate. Roger Ebert is one of those guys that thinks this is not a very good film. Again, pick of the pod, Roger Ebert. But he had this to say about it. The Village is a colossal miscalculation, a movie based on a premise that cannot support it, a premise so transparent it would be laughable were the movie not so deadly solemn. To call the ending an anticlimax would be an insult not only to climaxes, but to prefixes. It's a crummy secret about one step up the ladder of narrative originality from It Was All a Dream. It's so witless, in fact, that when we do discover the secret, we want to rewind the film so we don't know the secret anymore. What an asshole.
And this was, yeah, he was a notorious prick.
Yeah.
But like the issue I had with this movie, and I said this when we were talking about it on stream, like I figured this out within the first like half hour.
Did you really? And like I didn't. I remember, full disclosure, the very first time I saw this, I think I was in the theater, I liked it. I had no problem with it. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was entertaining. I actually enjoyed the M. Night twist, I'll be honest. At the time, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Now, if you go back and think about, you know, how plausible all of this is, it's maybe not super plausible. But so when did you figure out how did you know?
I didn't know, but I had a, okay, and this is why, this is going to sound so stupid, and you're going to be like, come on, but like, seriously.
No, I got you, yeah.
The whole purpose of the movie is like you're supposed to believe that this is like some colonial village, right?
Yeah.
How did they fix Joaquin Phoenix's cleft palate? If you know, he's the guy, you wouldn't cast him in that. You know, because they couldn't fix that. You can't fix a hair lip in the colonial Americas.
That's
you know
a
what
good
I mean?
Point. Yeah, but they could. Yeah, like they don't have Advil, but they can do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know see, I did not even like, think of that. I guess I chalked that up to, like, oh, they wanted the actor, nothing to see
which,
here.
Which could have been, but, like, I'm sitting there in the theater, and I'm thinking, like, how the hell did they do that?
Now, they do have subtle hints in this, too. Like, you know, when one of the kids, like, a kid dies. So, at the early on in the movie, like, a 7-year-old kid dies. And clearly, had they had the medicine to fix him, like, they could have. Like, he wouldn't have died in the real world, but they were like, we're here for a reason. And so they're like, they make some comment about like, are you sure like we should have settled here? And again, you can write that up to like, oh, they settled from Massachusetts and now they're in Pennsylvania or like whatever. Like you have no idea. But that whole idea, it talks about like their decision all to go there. And so that's sort of a giveaway. Not the time, but if you rewatch it, that's one of the things to look at. See, I didn't mind. I like the idea of, all right, all these people were in a group together because they all had just terrible shit happen to them.
Right.
And the guy happens to be like a billionaire, right? The William Hurt's character is like a billionaire. Like the whole wildlife preserve is like named after him. Because remember when Ivy gets to the other side of the fence, it's called like Walker Security and all that shit. So
yeah.
I didn't hate it, but this is one of those where I know most people hate it and I get it. Like I'm not gonna convince you to like it if you don't, but I had no problem. I'm not popping it in every day to watch it, but no. I think it's not bad.
It's watchable but barely.
Yeah.
And it's by no means his worst movie. Not even close.
No, oh my God, no. It was at the time, like when if you're just looking at those four movies, even when I liked it, I go, all right, that was the worst at the time. Some people Now, I know you and me like Unbreakable a lot, but some people would say he's getting worse by the movie, from Sixth Sense to Unbreakable to Signs to The Village. And then, holy shit, does it get worse. It gets so much worse. So the next movie is Lady in the Water, came out in 2006, 25% and 49% critics. Apartment building superintendent Cleveland Heap rescues what he thinks is a young woman from the pool he maintains when he discovers that she is actually a character from a bedtime story who is trying to make the journey back to her home. He works with his tenants to protect his new friend from the creatures that are determined to keep her in our world. M. Night won the Razzie for Worst Director and Worst Supporting Actor. Film and screenplays were nominated. So, I mean, it's one of the worst movies that I'd ever seen up until that point, actually.
And I think Paul Giamatti, so this is one of the ones, and this always gets overlooked, where you think of, like, what's the worst role, the worst next role someone who won an Oscar or was nominated for played?
Oh,
Paul Giamatti's coming off of Sideways, I believe.
And then he's in this piece of shit.
And then he's in this. Like, that's bad.
And also, M. Night Shyamalan wrote himself, like, a pretty big role in this, and he's a writer who, like, his writings are going to save the world.
Which is pretty, and that's where it kind of, like, it really bothers me, is this is just, like, a complete, I don't know if you can say suck fest on the air for himself, but that's what that is. I don't want to work blue, but
yeah,
that's basically what it is.
Let it loose. Yeah, I mean, it really, this is, like I said before, how he was starting to get compared to, like, Spielberg, and then so he's like, all right, here we go. Like, here's a story I used to tell my kid. I'm going to make it into a movie.
You want to see how much of a genius I am? Look at this.
So I remember, this came out in 06. So it must have been 06 when it was, I remember I was at, like, a Blockbuster with a lady, and we were gonna go pick out a couple of films.
Weren't planning on watching any of them, were you? I remember those days.
Oh sure. But we did. We watched the films. Don't worry about that. So we got two films, and I'm trying to forget who picked what, but it was like, I think I picked Lady in the Water because somebody told me it was good. And then she picked, I want to say, See No Evil, the movie with Kane. Or maybe it was reversed. No, See No Evil, I think she picked for some reason.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't, does it? But I think that's how it was. Yeah, maybe my memory's off on this. But either way, we watched, I think, See No Evil first. And I'm like, that is the worst movie of all time. Like, that is just the biggest piece of trash. Like, that movie sucks. She's like, all right, whatever, like, whatever. Let's put in Lady in the Water. And I'm like, I apologize. This movie's even worse. I hate it. Like, I hated it so much. It was just the pits. Do not watch this if you haven't. It's a waste of time. It sucks. It takes itself very seriously, even with, like, these fantastical creatures. It's just, I hate it. So,
but, like, grass wolves? Like, wolves that live in the grass?
Grass wolves, for sure.
And Bryce Dallas Howard was terrible.
She was really bad. She was the creature.
Like, overacted everything.
Awful.
Like she would have, like, this, like, little wispy voice, and then she would just, like, scream.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, just the worst.
Yeah, I don't get it.
So that's when I was starting to think, all right, maybe M. Night Shyamalan's not that great. And then
time out. So a mystical bedtime story fairy comes in through a pool drain?
Yeah, that's right.
Like,
that's right.
Come on, man. Fuck.
All right. See, now I'm trying to wonder. Maybe I had that story switched. Maybe she picked Lady in the Water.
You seem like the type of person who would rent a WWE movie.
I fucked up that whole story. I forget. Now it's going to bother me.
Sorry, I've heard worse stories. Don't worry.
No, that was pretty bad. In my head, it was a lot better than I thought. Anyway, the next movie, he proves that maybe he's not a very good director at all and writer with The Happening, 2008, 18%. 24% by the critics, a science teacher, played by Mark Wahlberg, his wife, Zoe Deschanel, and a young girl struggle to survive a plague that causes those infected to commit suicide. He was nominated for Razzies for Worst Director and Worst Screenplay. This movie, it depends on how you look at it. If you watch this as a movie, it is one of the worst of all time. If you... say it's an unintended comedy, it's like a Troll 2 type of movie, then you can at least have some fun and laugh at it.
Yeah, I like, for me, like, this is possibly, like, as you think of, like, movies like The Room or, like, Troll 2 or whatever, like, there's, like, something about it that's, like, endearing. Like, you're like, oh, like, it, you know, like, when, like, a little kid, like, tries to do something and, like, shits pants, and you're like, oh, he tried.
he's giving it his all. What a guy.
Like, they tried. I mean, the actors are into it. You know, they're trying. You know, it's whatever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But this one, it was like, someone took this so seriously, and someone was like, this is, like, something. You know what I mean? And it wasn't. And
it was trees. It was trees.
It was, and they say that in the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Right out of the shoot, they're like, oh, yeah, it's trees. And then it turns out it's trees. The M. Night twist this time being there was no M. Night twist. And they would just have scenes and scenes of just trees rustling. So, like, that was what was scary in the movie, was just bushes and trees. Also, that weird old lady that they stayed with.
I was going to say, the fucking weird old lady? Like, what is that all about? And what is, like...
She's like, are you going to kill me? And Mark Wahlberg's like, what? No!
And then he starts singing, could get a beep. He starts singing, like, Blackwater, like, by the Doobie Brothers.
It's real. It's...
Like, what? Oh, Blackwater. Keep, like, what the... What is this? Like, it's...
The dialogue is off the charts. The dialogue is so bad. And, like, Wahlberg, he has that way about him, too, where, like... I think, particularly in a bad movie, because he's kind of an odd guy to figure out. Like, in some movies, like in Boogie Nights, I'm like, oh, he's a good actor.
Yeah.
And then you see him in this, and you're like, is he the worst actor ever? Like, he's a hard guy to peg. I think it's the scripts.
Remember when Andy Samberg did that thing? He did the Mark Wahlberg show, and he's like,
yeah.
Just asking questions.
Say, how do you
time?
Mother for me?
Yeah. Like,
hey, what's up, goat?
Yeah,
hey, goat.
Like that's based on this movie because all he does is like ask questions. Like someone who's supposed to be like a science guy and like
science
know
teacher.
The answer to these things.
No,
all he's doing the entire movie is asking questions.
And he has the same look on his face the entire movie.
Yeah,
it's really bad. It's one of the like when people ask me what's the worst movie you've ever seen, it's on the short list. It really. I bring it up for sure.
I bring this up and
Lady in the Water.
Terrible performance by Zooey Deschanel. Not another terrible performance from her, but like.
Just
in a
awful.
Shyamalan movie?
Yeah.
She's terrible.
She's bad. The kid that like that's with them is bad. Even poor John Leguizamo, who's a good actor. The Pest, for God's sakes.
Oh, The Pest. He was in The Pest.
Not good.
He was clown in the original Spawn movie.
He was.
He had to have like back surgery, I'm told.
He was.
Because he was squatting down in that suit for like 8 hours a day.
He was doing the damn thing in that.
Yeah.
He wasn't great in this. Again, the trees, though, making people commit suicide. Awful, awful movie. So then
he's like,
all right. Maybe those two weren't great. Let me take a show that people like, and I'm going to make it a movie my own. I'm going to write it and completely change what people like about it. That would be The Last Airbender. Came out in 2010. 6% on Rotten Tomatoes. 30% by the audience. Worst director and worst screenplay, Razzie. Wins for The Last Airbender.
Oh, wins.
Yeah,
he finally got his award.
Won both of those. Full disclosure, I've not seen this movie in its entirety. I started it a while ago, and it was just so bad. I was like, what's the point?
I have seen it. Let me ask you this, though, before we get any further. If you were nominated for a Razzie, and there was a good chance you were going to win it,
yes,
would you show up to accept it?
Yes, I would.
I would, too.
Of course I would. Like The Rock won a Razzie,
that, like,
and I think he like even that, like had an acceptance speech. You gotta go. If you don't, then what kind of dickhead are you?
I think Halle Berry went too.
Yeah, probably. I mean, and that's another one. She's won an Oscar. She's won a Razzie. Hey, you win some, you lose some. What are you gonna do?
Like you say all the time. Like you're getting paid millions of dollars to play pretend.
You're playing pretend. Yeah.
Like,
come on.
Don't take it so seriously. If you screw up, be like, yeah, you know, it just didn't work.
It's like
you own it.
Yeah. You don't have to
like
give the money
like,
back.
You know what?
Yeah.
Yeah. I am losing my hair. I'm not that tall. Maybe I could lose a little weight. You know, then people can't make fun of you for it anymore.
Yeah, like, God damn it.
You know?
Clarence's
so
parents
like,
got a real good marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who do I have to impress anymore?
Just put it out there.
Yeah, nobody.
I am friends with Cheddar Bob, who shot himself in the leg.
Yeah.
So, Last Airbender, piece of shit. They kind of whitewashed some of the characters, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that people did
not
like
great.
That. And it's just
not great.
Kid actors in it are awful, at least from as much as I saw of it.
Those kids had never worked again, I'm sure.
Probably not. No, the one girl was in a few episodes of Bates Motel. I know that to be true.
Oh, yeah. Who saw that? No one.
I did.
I know you did.
No one. Who's in here? No one. So then he takes that piece of shit. He follows that up 3 years later with a Will Smith vehicle called After Earth, 2013, 11. This meter goes to 11%.
This movie is nonsense.
Yeah, worst director and worst screenplay Razzie nominations.
it's nonsense. And there's rumors that like he was on the set to help Will Smith, but Will Smith really directed it, but then like pulled his name off it. Like didn't want to say he directed it.
Interesting. So it's Will Smith, Jaden Smith, and it's stupid. Again, another movie that I saw some of. Like the dialogue makes no sense. It's all very sciencey. Even Will Smith is terrible in it, and it just
Will Smith, one of the most charismatic people on the planet, plays like this like deadpan like absentee dad whose name is Cypher Rage.
Yeah, it's not gonna cut it. That's
Are
not gonna cut
me?
It. Yeah, After Earth is a dump. So then,
and I said this movie would be bad if it made any sense.
But not even see.
It doesn't even make any sense.
I would say. out of the last four that we looked at, The Happening is the well, they're all terrible. You can make an argument for any one of them being the worst, but The Happening is probably the most rewatchable because it's just so ridiculous. Like, if you just go in knowing it's going to be dumb and just look at Mark Wahlberg and Zooey Deschanel and be like, what are they doing? Like, that at least has something, whereas After Earth, Last Airbender, and Lady in the Water are just awful, joyless. There's zero bit of entertainment in any of those three movies.
And I would say, like you said, if you're going to have, like, get your friends together for a night, we should actually do this and have, like, a bad movie night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Happening.
And put on, like, you got, you know, you watch Troll 2 and you watch The Room and you watch Captain Ron.
Yeah.
And then you watch, like, The Happening. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm in.
You'll get a laugh.
You get a little bit of a chuckle, where the other ones you wouldn't even get that. So
no. After Earth is like a 2-hour long eye roll.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree.
The whole time you're watching it.
So
Jaden Smith can't act for shit.
No, he can't. He is terrible. So by my count, you have three good to great movies. You have a polarizing movie, The Village, which is at best average, right? I mean, maybe slightly above average, depending on how much you like it, but it's fine. I'd call it fine. Then you have four straight dumps. Then in 2015, he comes back with the movie The Visit, 65%. So there's a big uptick there, 51% by the audience. Two siblings become increasingly frightened by their grandparents' disturbing behavior while visiting them on vacation, and he actually won the Razzie Redeemer Award for this.
Yeah,
as a guy who had, you know, had a bunch of shit movies, and then they think bounced back. And I would say, The Visit, I just saw this past weekend for the first time because I'm like, all right, we're doing this. I got to watch this. The only one I haven't seen any of it, so I watched the whole thing. Did not hate it. I would say I did not hate it.
It's a decent horror movie.
It had some good scares. It's a little like how plausible the whole idea of the plot is. So basically, you know, this mom who's played by, she's in a ton of stuff. I don't know her name. Adam Scott's wife in Step Brothers, who bangs John C. Reilly. She's great.
Yeah. Catherine.
Something or other.
Han.
Yeah. So I love her. So she's in this. And so she had a falling out with her parents. Because she was with an older guy, she leaves and then ends up with two kids. But the grandparents have never met the two kids ever because they had such a falling out. And then after all this time, the kids are now like the girl might be 15, would you say, and the boy's like 11
ish.
Or 12,
yeah,
somewhere. He's younger, so it's a boy and a girl, and whatever, they're gonna go visit their grandparents for the first time ever. But she doesn't see him, so she just drops him off at the goddamn train station, doesn't even make sure they get there. But I guess they're old enough, the daughter's old enough to maybe pull this off. The grandparents are going to meet them there. They're going to check in when they get there. So should we just spoil this one, I guess?
No, go ahead. Yeah,
I guess. So skip ahead several minutes if you don't want to hear the Visit spoiler. So long story short, it's not her grandparents that pick up the kids, and they're living with these two crazies. So as you're going through, you're like, man, like, her parents are crazy, but like, they don't really talk to each other very much. They're nuts, like, up in the middle of the night, like, banging on the walls, like, just like naked, like, just like banana stuff. They have like a room. The guy's like always shitting blood and like storing diapers in the outhouse. He's like
crackers.
The movie is the two are absolute crackers, and then the M. Night twist is you're just like, oh, they're not. Oh, there's that scene from the trailer where the grandmother is saying to the daughter, like, hey, can you clean my oven? And she's like, sure. She's like, go ahead, a little bit further back, a little bit further back. No, go ahead, get all the way in there. And you're like, what the fuck is this? So
they did that in Tales from the Dark Side, the movie, by the way.
I'm sure there's some stealing. There's also some stealing. I think The Village had some copyright shit. People kind of went after him. There's like another book that had a very similar idea. Yeah. But anyway, so they Skype with the mom, the two kids do, but they never see the parents or the grandparents. People come over to visit the grandparents, but the grandparents are never there, like when those people come by. And then you find out that their grandparents are like, oh, they're always working at like a center, like a counseling center or whatever. And long story short, it's already been too long, but they're Skyping and like, oh, where are your grandparents? Like, oh, they're outside and they're acting really weird. And she shows them up and she's like, you're staying with those people? Like, those aren't your grandparents. And then it's like, what the fuck?
Like,
and then,
what?
So those people were crazies and they heard about the grandkids coming. And so they killed the actual grandparents and they were stuffed in the basement. And they told them when they got there not to be in the basement. So my question to you, Ryan, is, like the two old people that we see are obviously insane, But they're able to like dial up kind of like a coherent scheme.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I did.
Yeah.
So they obviously heard the information. They knew when to pick up the kids. They picked up the kids at the right time. They brought them home. They lived in the house. They like tucked them into bed and like they fed them and everything else. But then what was really their end goal? Like I think the father at one point says something like she really wanted grandkids or something bullshit like
but
that.
But they were like going to kill him and eat him. I don't know.
I wasn't sure. I like what was that the end goal? Like they had opportunities to kill him and they didn't.
I know. But so then the thing, like, they're only crazy at night, too. Like, they're not crazy during
the day. Well, and then they're like, oh, it's sundowner's disease or whatever, which is a thing. And, like, you know, old people sometimes are better with it during the day than they are at night. But anyway, like, it was a lot better than the last four movies that he did. But I have it probably on par with, like, The Village. Like, he does good movies and shit movies. This one's probably dead in the middle.
And this is what I liked about this movie and what worked is you've seen enough of these horror movies that are like these found footage horror movies.
Oh, yeah, good point. That's also like what this is.
They like pick up a camera and they're like moving it around because the kids have a camera and they like to make little movies and whatever. But one of the things I really liked, they actually did that really well as opposed to like other movies where, you know, like Cloverfield, for instance.
Yeah, that's kind of makes you sick a little bit. Yeah, they did a good job because the girl was shooting a documentary, and that made sense. Yep. Like, I'm visiting my grandparents for the first time, and she even had another camera, and she told her brother, she's like, you're going to be, like, the second cameraman. So they did a good job, and she would, like, set it up in the room, or she would set it up in the kitchen. So you never felt sick, but you also got that sort of view of it. So, yeah, you're right. They did a good job.
What I did like about that, too, is that they – one of the things that I was going to say, like Cloverfield, there's a score. Like, there's things you hear in the movie that you would never hear.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and the only time, there's no music in this movie. The only time you hear music is when you hear them, like, listening to music.
Right.
So, like, that kind of built the tension that way, which was a clever way to do it. But if you watch, like, any of these other movies, like, there's noises that you wouldn't hear in, like, a found footage movie.
There was also the scene, that's true. There's also the scene that you knew it was coming, but they finally, one night, they set up the camera in the family room. They wanted to see what the grandmother was doing.
Yeah.
And so she comes, like, in the middle of the night, comes crawling into the room, and you're just, like, waiting for it. And it was predictable. You knew it was going to happen, but she, like, pops up and just, like, screams into the camera. And I'm like, I knew it, and it still got me. I was like, well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were some good scares in there. So not bad, not bad. So then the last movie that he did, of course, is Split, came out in 2016. And 76% critics, 78% audience. Three girls are kidnapped by a man with a diagnosed 23 distinct personalities. They must try to escape before the apparent emergence of a frightful new 24th. And this is finally, I think M. Night might be back. He might be back. The Visit was fine. Split was really good, was really enjoyable. Got a good actor to be his lead guy. Story was pretty cool. And then the big... there's two kind of twist endings here. I guess one would be that it's part of the Unbreakable universe. It's got its own thing going on. That was amazing. And that's been given away now with the trailer and everything else. But then also, like a lot of these movies in M. Night's thing, where like somebody sort of claims a certain thing, and then people don't really believe them, and then you're like, oh, wait a minute, that really is true. Like, this guy can't turn into like a beast.
Yeah, which was cool. And this was, I think the downside to this movie is that, you know, James McAvoy is touted to have, you know, 23 personalities.
Yeah.
And you see like five of them.
Yeah, I was going to say there's like overlap with a couple. They were all good. Like he did a really good job, but I was like, give me a few more is what I would have wanted.
Like he does crazy really well. And I think this is like, it's like kind of like a modern day, like Silence of the Lambs kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like a combination of like Silence of the Lambs and like Red Dragon.
Red Dragon, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Manhunter.
So, yeah. So I mean, I really like this movie. I thought it was it moved along. The pace was a little bit better than some of his other movies, where you know you're
which is funny
constantly on your toes.
I think this was longer than some of his other movies, if I remember correctly.
But it didn't feel. No, it didn't sound stupid. Like it didn't feel that way.
No, I know.
You know, it didn't. Yeah.
This
and McAvoy was awesome.
And to me, like, the fact that it was in a shared universe, like, I know this is obvious because, you know, who doesn't love shared universes? But, like, that made it even better. I'm like, oh, that was a really good movie. And then when you see Bruce Willis at the diner, I was like, oh, this movie's great. Like, yeah. It shouldn't have mattered as much as it did to me, but I'm like, I love that.
No, and I purposely stayed away from it until I actually saw the movie. Like, I didn't want to, don't tell me what happened.
Yeah.
Like, don't, like, I know I can kind of guess, but I didn't know who showed up and how they were going to do it.
Oh, sick.
And he's like, he just kind of like looks up and he's like, Mr. Glass. It's like, what do they call that guy? And he's like at the bar.
Oh, it's great.
It was awesome.
Oh man, that's good stuff. Yeah. So Split helps M. Night Shyamalan a lot. If it wasn't for that, like if he came out with another dump, it might not even be worth it. Because remember for a while, it was like, ooh, M. Night Shyamalan presents. Like he directed an episode of Wayward Pines, which is a terrible show. Me and Woody did an episode on season one back in the early days of Dork. And it was like an intriguing show and it was whatever, but one of the drawing powers was M. Night Shyamalan. And he
he did that was something like the else. Thing.
He was going to bring back Tales from the Crypt, but then that ended up dying
out.
Right,
that got shit-canned. Yeah. I love Tales from the Crypt. They need to make that available on HBO Go and HBO Now.
That's a good call.
To HBO, if you're listening, I know you're listening.
Shout out HBO.
Bring back fucking Tales from the Crypt.
Please.
For God's sake.
Come on. Do us one solid.
Oh, my God, the Crypt Keeper used to scare the crap out of me.
Yeah, I was not. It was a hard watch.
You know, like in the intro where they would go through the house and he would pop out of the coffin?
Oh, yeah.
I would go, like, my parents had, like, a finished basement, and I would go and like the other part of the basement.
Yeah.
And my brother, I'd be like, tell me when it's over. Like, tell me when it's over.
Is he out? Is he telling his stories?
I just don't want to see it.
Are they going to the story? Is he done? Is he done monologuing right now?
And I was like, catch me up. Tell me what the story's about, because usually, like, intro the story. I'm like, tell me what it's about.
Yeah. Everything about that worked. It was scary as shit. I'm with you. I was scared of everything when I was little, and that scared the shit out of me. And it was good. Like, his look combined with his voice was as good as it got.
Yeah.
That's a scary motherfucker.
I might be wrong. Hang on. I have to keep talking.
You're going to give it a googs. All right. So that was, again, he's written and directed 12 movies. We're going to rank the top 10 because I don't think anybody saw the first two. And obviously Glass is upcoming in 2019. Ryan, I'm going to rip through my top 10 quickly here. I'm going to go in the number one spot. I'm going to go with Unbreakable, followed by The Sixth Sense, then Split, then Signs. I kind of ping-pong these two back and forth. I think right now, fifth will be The Visit. The Village will be sixth, but I could easily flip those. And then this was really difficult because all four of these are four of the worst movies ever made. I'm going to put The Happening number seven only because of what we said about how you could like actually rewatch it and laugh at it. Then I'm going to go Lady in the Water, then The Last Airbender, then After Earth. But those could all be switched. Like 7 through 10 are very interchangeable for worst.
I'm with you where I believe that
Unbreakable
is my favorite of his movies.
Okay.
Then I'm going to go with The Sixth Sense.
Yep.
And then I'm going to go Wide Awake. I'm kidding. That's a joke. That's a joke.
I'm like, that's not even on my list.
I'm going to go, so The Sixth Sense, then Split.
Yeah.
Then The Visit.
Okay. You're probably forced into putting Signs. I was going to say, you're forced into putting Signs in the top five.
Signs, The Village.
Yeah. And then I'm telling you, man, these four, they are incredibly
bad.
Shoot,
but I would say dead last, obviously, is After Earth.
Yeah, I get that one there, too.
Because I was old enough when The Last Airbender came out where I didn't care about The Last Airbender. I don't give a shit.
I didn't see
100 episodes of a cartoon. Like,
I don't give a wild poop about it. I really don't.
I don't give a shit. But the fact that, like, the balls on both Will Smith and M. Night Shyamalan to come out with After Earth, like, that movie can kiss ass.
It does. It stinks.
Yeah.
And if you're looking to rewatch any of these after we talked about them, I know on Netflix, The Sixth Sense and The Village are both on Netflix. I think that's it right now, but you know, his movies kind of go in and out of there for sure.
And again, I would put The Happening last if it wasn't so funny.
Yeah, exactly. The Happening, I agree completely. Like, that is, over time, you're like, okay, it's just, now it's a comedy. We're moving genres. It's a B movie. It's just, we're going to put it over there. It happens to have a big name director, a lot of big name stars in it. And it wasn't intended to be this bad, but it is. So just enjoy it for whatever it's worth. All right, do you have any other M. Night Shyamalan news and notes, thoughts?
No, I don't have any news and notes right now.
Now, real quick, when you think of M. Night Shyamalan, do you think great director or no?
No, not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, not in the Hall of Fame, but some really intriguing movies. You know, like,
yeah, he had some good moves. Brady Anderson had some great years.
Yeah, you're right. Like,
is Brady Anderson a Hall of Famer?
Brady Anderson had one good year, and no, he's not a Hall of Famer. M. Night Shyamalan's had more than one good movie, but he also he himself wouldn't have a bust in the Hall of Fame, but there'd be like a plaque down the hall that said like references the M. Night twist.
Yep.
Like that's worth mentioning. Like he at least has put a stamp on, you know, Hollywood movies over the last 20 years.
Yeah, I mean,
like people know who he is. Like that's pretty good.
He's got a little blip. Like he's got like the Jimmy Dugan. Like he's got like his own, like from A League of Their Own. Like he's got his own little freestanding thing. But he's not in the Hall of Fame.
If you were a director, would you give yourself a role in all your movies, like Alfred Hitchcock and him?
I would be an extra, and I would make it like a thing where like people had to find, like a Where's Waldo,
like an Easter egg.
Have to find me.
I like that.
Not like I would not speak ever. No, I wouldn't be like Stan Lee, where I'd have a line.
See, I would star in all my movies.
No, I would be like someone gets on a bus. Like I would be sitting on the bus somewhere.
I'd be driving the fucking bus.
And you say, like tip your cap and go like, ma'am.
Hello? Interact with me, please. They're like, okay, all right. All right,
these pretzels are making me thirsty. These pretzels are making me thirsty.
Pick of the podcast time now, Ryan. Would you like to kick, receive, defer, defend a goal?
I'll receive. I kind of stepped on the sounder there, so I figured I should go first.
I'll just clean that up in post. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. My pick of the podcast, I actually watched this movie. It's actually not bad. It's not terrible. There's a movie on Netflix. I don't think it ever got released in the theaters, called Message from the King.
Oh, never heard of it.
It stars Chadwick Boseman, the Black Panther.
There he is.
And he plays a mysterious outsider from South Africa named Jacob King, arrives in Los Angeles to avenge his young sister's death.
Ooh.
Actually a pretty good movie.
All right.
It's watchable. It's not bad. I like Chadwick Boseman. If you like him, check that movie out. It's actually pretty good.
Nice. My pick of the pod is just recently, so I don't know if it's on the front page right now or you can scroll through pretty quickly, but the Ringer website, Bill Simmons' website, The Ringer, just did an article there. Their whole staff got together. They came up with the 100 best TV episodes of the century. And they're only allowed one episode per show. So it wasn't it wasn't like 20 Breaking Bad episodes. It was only one. Yeah. So it was one of all these shows. But what they also did was, it's not just comedies and dramas. They also did talk shows, reality shows, game shows, like everything from the last century. So it was a pretty cool list. I think they got most of our favorites. I don't, you know, obviously agree with the order, but you know, that's the point of doing those lists, just to get people fired up. But
doing 100 cool. anything is tough.
100 is banana. Like you and me, it'd be impossible. Like if we had a few more people doing it, we could probably do it. But
not only that, how do you pick the best episode of The Simpsons? Critically, you're going to say, well, Monorail. Like, Monorail's the best episode of The Simpsons. Like,
yeah, but the best episode of The Simpsons didn't come out this century.
No, it didn't.
No. So, do you want to guess what best episode of Breaking Bad they picked?
If it better not be Fly.
No, it wasn't. It was the other one directed by Ryan Johnson.
Face Off.
No, Ozymandias.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah, it was a good episode.
Is that that's the penultimate one, isn't it? Isn't that the one right before the finale?
That sounds right.
It's like two or three. It's like the
It's in that fifth season, I believe. Yeah,
it's in the fifth season.
Yeah.
They had a good. Oh my god! Last season of Breaking Bad, could that be the best last season of a show ever?
Yeah, because The Wire definitely the last season was the worst. So
same with Dexter.
Yeah.
Same with
Did we lose Ryan? We lost Ryan. That never happens. Ryan's out. What are you going to do? All right, that's going to do it. We were right in the middle of something great there, but that'll do it. You can check out Davey on Twitch, twitch.tv/rvonD. He's at rvonD on Twitter and everywhere else as well. You can rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes. You can check us out on Twitter at dorkpodcast, youtube.com/dorkpodcast. Email us, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up all the way there, and next week, TBD, I believe. We've been working on a few ideas for the rest of the summer. So continue to tweet us and email us and rate, review, and all that other nonsense. So thanks for listening to this. Also, let us know, what is your favorite M. Night Shyamalan movie? What is your least favorite M. Night Shyamalan movie? And are there any other directors out there that you think we should go through the list of movies that they directed? That'll do it. We'll talk to you later.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's is the refreshing!